A Treatise on the Law of Contracts by William Paley. Books.Kim, free summaries of best-selling books. Download PDF and MP3 versions of the summary from www.books.kim. Summary. A Treatise on the Law of Contracts by William Paley is a comprehensive guide to the law of contracts. It covers the fundamentals of contract law, including the formation of contracts, the interpretation of contracts, and the remedies available for breach of contract. The book also examines the various types of contracts, such as express contracts, implied contracts, and quasi-contracts. It also discusses the legal principles that govern the enforcement of contracts, such as consideration, capacity, and legality. The book begins by discussing the formation of contracts. It explains the requirements for a valid contract, such as offer, acceptance, and consideration. It also examines the various types of contracts, such as express contracts, implied contracts, and quasi-contracts. It then discusses the interpretation of contracts, including the rules of construction and the interpretation of ambiguous terms. The book then examines the remedies available for breach of contract. It explains the various types of damages, such as compensatory damages, nominal damages, and punitive damages. It also discusses the various defenses available to a party accused of breaching a contract, such as impossibility, frustration of purpose, and duress. The book then examines the legal principles that govern the enforcement of contracts. It explains the doctrine of consideration, which requires that a contract be supported by something of value. It also discusses the doctrine of capacity, which requires that a party to a contract have the legal capacity to enter into a contract. Finally, it examines the doctrine of legality, which requires that a contract be for a lawful purpose. A Treatise on the Law of Contracts by William Paley is an invaluable resource for anyone interested in understanding the fundamentals of contract law. It provides a comprehensive overview of the law of contracts, from the formation of contracts to the remedies available for breach of contract. It is an essential guide for anyone seeking to understand the legal principles that govern the enforcement of contracts. Main ideas. Main idea number 1. Offer and acceptance. An offer is an expression of willingness to enter into a contract, and an acceptance is an agreement to the terms of the offer. An offer is an expression of willingness to enter into a contract. It is an act of one party, the offeror, which is intended to create a binding agreement with another party, the offeree. The offer must be definite and certain in its terms, and must be communicated to the offeree in a manner that is capable of being understood. An acceptance is an agreement to the terms of the offer. It is an act of the offeree, which is intended to create a binding agreement with the offeror. The acceptance must be unconditional and must be communicated to the offeror in a manner that is capable of being understood. The offer and acceptance must be made in good faith, and must be supported by consideration. Consideration is something of value that is exchanged between the parties, such as money, goods, or services. The consideration must be sufficient to support the agreement, and must be bargained for by both parties. Once an offer and acceptance have been made, a contract is formed. The contract is a legally binding agreement between the parties, and is enforceable in a court of law. The parties are obligated to perform their respective duties under the contract, and any breach of the contract can result in legal action. Main idea number 2. Consideration. Consideration is an exchange of something of value between the parties to a contract, which is necessary for the contract to be legally binding. Consideration is an essential element of a legally binding contract. It is an exchange of something of value between the parties to a contract, which is necessary for the contract to be legally binding. Consideration can take many forms, such as money, goods, services, or a promise to do something. It is important to note that consideration must be of some value, and must be given in exchange for something else of value. Consideration must also be bargained for, meaning that the parties must have agreed to the exchange of consideration in order for it to be legally binding. The purpose of consideration is to ensure that both parties to a contract are entering into the agreement in good faith. It is also intended to protect both parties from any potential disputes that may arise in the future. Consideration is a fundamental concept in contract law, and it is important to understand its implications before entering into any contractual agreement. Main idea number 3. Capacity. The parties to a contract must have the legal capacity to enter into a contract, which is determined by their age, mental state, and other factors. Capacity is an essential element of a valid contract. In order for a contract to be legally binding, the parties to the contract must have the legal capacity to enter into it. This capacity is determined by a variety of factors, such as age, mental state, and other relevant considerations. For example, a minor cannot enter into a contract, as they are not legally considered to have the capacity to do so. Similarly, a person who is mentally incapacitated may not be able to enter into a contract, as they may not be able to understand the terms of the agreement. It is important to note that capacity is not the same as competency. Competency refers to the ability of a person to understand the terms of a contract and make an informed decision about whether or not to enter into it. Capacity, on the other hand, is a legal determination of whether or not a person is legally allowed to enter into a contract. Therefore, it is important to ensure that all parties to a contract have the legal capacity to enter into it. If any of the parties do not have the capacity to enter into a contract, then the contract may be deemed invalid. Main idea number 4. Legality. Contracts must be for a legal purpose and must not violate any laws or public policy. The law of contracts is based on the principle that a contract must be for a legal purpose and must not violate any laws or public policy. This means that a contract must not be used to commit a crime or to do something that is against public policy. For example, a contract cannot be used to commit fraud or to engage in activities that are illegal or immoral. The law also requires that a contract must be entered into voluntarily and with the intention of creating a legally binding agreement. This means that both parties must understand the terms of the contract and agree to them. If either party does not understand the terms of the contract or does not agree to them, then the contract is not legally binding. In addition, the law requires that a contract must be supported by consideration. This means that each party must give something of value in exchange for the other party's promise. This could be money, goods, services, or something else of value. Without consideration, a contract is not legally binding. Finally, the law requires that a contract must be in writing and signed by both parties. This is to ensure that both parties understand the terms of the contract and agree to them. Without a written and signed contract, a contract is not legally binding. Main idea number 5. Formalities. Certain contracts must be in writing and signed by the parties in order to be legally binding. Formalities are an important part of contract law. Certain contracts must be in writing and signed by the parties in order to be legally binding. This is known as the Statute of Frauds, which was first enacted in England in 1677. The Statute of Frauds requires that certain types of contracts, such as those involving the sale of land, must be in writing and signed by the parties in order to be legally binding. This is to ensure that the parties are aware of the terms of the contract and that they are legally bound to them. In addition to the Statute of Frauds, there are other formalities that must be observed in order to make a contract legally binding. For example, contracts must be made with the intention of creating a legally binding agreement. This means that the parties must have the capacity to enter into a contract, and must have the intention to be bound by the terms of the contract. Furthermore, the contract must be supported by consideration, which is something of value that is exchanged between the parties. Formalities are an important part of contract law, and it is important to ensure that all of the necessary formalities are observed in order to make a contract legally binding. Failure to observe the necessary formalities can result in the contract being unenforceable, which can have serious consequences for the parties involved. Main idea number 6. Mistake. A mistake can render a contract void if it is material to the contract and both parties are aware of it. A mistake is a misapprehension of the facts or law that is material to the contract. If both parties are aware of the mistake, the contract may be rendered void. This is because the mistake renders the contract voidable, meaning that either party may choose to void the contract. The mistake must be material to the contract in order for it to be voidable. This means that the mistake must have a significant effect on the contract. For example, if the parties agree to a contract for the sale of a car, but the car is not actually owned by the seller, the mistake is material to the contract and the contract may be rendered void. In addition, both parties must be aware of the mistake in order for the contract to be voidable. If only one party is aware of the mistake, the contract may still be valid. For example, if the parties agree to a contract for the sale of a car, but the seller is unaware that the car is not actually owned by them, the contract may still be valid. A mistake can render a contract void if it is material to the contract and both parties are aware of it. This is because the mistake renders the contract voidable, meaning that either party may choose to void the contract. The mistake must be material to the contract in order for it to be voidable, and both parties must be aware of the mistake in order for the contract to be voidable. Main idea number 7. Misrepresentation. A misrepresentation is a false statement of fact that induces a party to enter into a contract, and can render the contract voidable. Misrepresentation is a false statement of fact that induces a party to enter into a contract. It is a false statement of material fact, made by one party to another, which induces the other party to enter into a contract. Misrepresentation can be either innocent or fraudulent. In either case, the contract can be rendered voidable by the party who was induced to enter into the contract by the misrepresentation. In the case of innocent misrepresentation, the party who made the false statement did not intend to deceive the other party. However, the other party may still be able to void the contract if they can prove that they were induced to enter into the contract by the false statement. In the case of fraudulent misrepresentation, the party who made the false statement intended to deceive the other party. In this case, the other party may be able to void the contract without having to prove that they were induced to enter into the contract by the false statement. Misrepresentation can have serious consequences for both parties to a contract. It is important for parties to ensure that all statements made in the course of negotiating a contract are accurate and truthful. If a party is found to have made a misrepresentation, they may be liable for damages or other remedies. Main idea number 8. Duress. A contract is voidable if one party was forced to enter into it under duress or undue influence. Duress is a legal term that refers to a situation in which one party is forced to enter into a contract or agreement against their will. It is a form of coercion that renders a contract voidable, meaning that the party who was forced to enter into the contract can choose to have it voided. Duress can take many forms, including physical force, threats of violence, or economic pressure. In the case of a contract, duress occurs when one party is forced to enter into the agreement due to the threat of harm or other negative consequences. This can include threats of physical violence, economic hardship, or other forms of coercion. The party who is forced to enter into the contract is said to be under duress, and the contract is considered voidable. The law of contracts recognizes that duress can be used to force someone to enter into a contract, and it provides remedies for those who have been forced to enter into a contract under duress. In order for a contract to be considered voidable due to duress, the party must prove that they were forced to enter into the contract against their will and that the other party was aware of the duress. A contract that is voidable due to duress can be voided by either party, and the party who was forced to enter into the contract can seek damages for any losses they suffered as a result of the duress. It is important to note that duress is not the same as undue influence, which is another form of coercion that can render a contract voidable. Main idea number 9. Unconscionability. A contract is voidable if it is so one-sided or unfair that it is unconscionable. Unconscionability is a legal concept that applies to contracts and other agreements. It is a doctrine that allows a court to void a contract or agreement if it is so one-sided or unfair that it is considered unconscionable. This doctrine is based on the idea that no one should be allowed to take advantage of another person's lack of knowledge or bargaining power. In order for a contract to be considered unconscionable, it must be so one-sided or unfair that it shocks the conscience of the court. This means that the court must find that the contract is so unfair that it is not reasonable for the parties to have agreed to it. The court will look at the circumstances of the parties, the terms of the contract, and the bargaining power of the parties when determining if a contract is unconscionable. If a court finds that a contract is unconscionable, it can void the contract and order the parties to return to their original positions. This means that the parties will not be able to enforce the contract and will not be able to recover any money or other benefits that they may have received under the contract. Unconscionability is an important concept in contract law and can be used to protect parties from unfair contracts. It is important for parties to understand the concept of unconscionability and to make sure that any contracts they enter into are fair and reasonable. Main idea number 10. Statute of frauds: certain contracts must be in writing and signed by the parties in order to be legally binding. The statute of frauds is a law that requires certain contracts to be in writing and signed by the parties in order to be legally binding. This law was first enacted in England in 1677 and has since been adopted in some form in many countries. The purpose of the statute of frauds is to prevent fraud and to ensure that contracts are enforceable. It is important to note that not all contracts are subject to the statute of frauds. Generally, contracts that involve the sale of land, the transfer of goods worth more than a certain amount, and contracts that cannot be completed within 1 year are subject to the statute of frauds. The statute of frauds requires that certain contracts must be in writing and signed by the parties in order to be legally binding. This means that verbal agreements are not enforceable under the statute of frauds. Additionally, the statute of frauds requires that the writing must contain all of the essential terms of the contract, including the names of the parties, the subject matter of the contract, and the consideration. If any of these elements are missing, the contract may not be enforceable. The statute of frauds is an important law that helps to protect parties from fraud and ensures that contracts are enforceable. It is important to understand the requirements of the statute of frauds and to make sure that any contracts that are subject to the statute of frauds are in writing and signed by the parties. Main idea number 11. Performance: the parties to a contract must perform their obligations in accordance with the terms of the contract. Performance is the most important element of a contract. It is the act of fulfilling the obligations that each party has agreed to in the contract. The parties must perform their obligations in accordance with the terms of the contract. This means that they must do what they have agreed to do, when they have agreed to do it, and in the manner that they have agreed to do it. If either party fails to perform their obligations, then the other party may be able to seek legal remedies. Performance of a contract is not always easy. The parties must be aware of their obligations and must be willing to fulfill them. They must also be aware of any changes in the terms of the contract that may affect their performance. If either party fails to perform their obligations, then the other party may be able to seek legal remedies. Performance of a contract is also important for the enforcement of the contract. If one party fails to perform their obligations, then the other party may be able to seek legal remedies. This could include damages, specific performance, or other remedies. The parties should be aware of their obligations and should be willing to fulfill them in order to ensure that the contract is enforced. Main idea number 12. Breach of contract: a breach of contract occurs when one party fails to perform its obligations under the contract. A breach of contract is a failure to perform one's obligations under a contract. It can occur in a variety of ways, including a party failing to perform its obligations in a timely manner, failing to perform its obligations at all, or performing its obligations in a manner that is not in accordance with the terms of the contract. When a breach of contract occurs, the non-breaching party may be entitled to damages or other remedies, such as specific performance or rescission of the contract. The remedies available for a breach of contract depend on the type of breach that has occurred. For example, if a party fails to perform its obligations in a timely manner, the non-breaching party may be entitled to damages for the delay. If a party fails to perform its obligations at all, the non-breaching party may be entitled to damages for the breach, or may be able to seek specific performance or rescission of the contract. In addition to damages or other remedies, the non-breaching party may also be able to seek an injunction to prevent the breaching party from continuing to breach the contract. An injunction is a court order that requires the breaching party to perform its obligations under the contract. If the breaching party fails to comply with the injunction, the court may impose sanctions, such as fines or imprisonment. Main idea number 13. Remedies. The remedies for a breach of contract include damages, specific performance, and rescission. Damages are a common remedy for a breach of contract. Damages are a monetary award that is meant to compensate the non-breaching party for any losses they may have suffered due to the breach. The amount of damages awarded is usually based on the extent of the losses suffered by the non-breaching party. Specific performance is another remedy for a breach of contract. This remedy requires the breaching party to fulfill their obligations under the contract. This remedy is usually only available when damages are not sufficient to compensate the non-breaching party for their losses. Rescission is the final remedy for a breach of contract. This remedy allows the non-breaching party to cancel the contract and be released from any further obligations under the contract. This remedy is usually only available when the breach is material and the non-breaching party has suffered significant losses due to the breach. Main idea number 14. Discharge of contract. A contract can be discharged by performance, agreement, impossibility, or operation of law. Discharge of contract is the termination of a contract due to the completion of the contractual obligations, mutual agreement, impossibility of performance, or operation of law. Performance is the most common way of discharging a contract. When the parties to a contract have fulfilled their respective obligations, the contract is discharged. Agreement is another way of discharging a contract. When the parties to a contract agree to terminate the contract is discharged. Impossibility of performance is another way of discharging a contract. When performance of the contract becomes impossible due to an event beyond the control of the parties, the contract is discharged. Lastly, operation of law is another way of discharging a contract. When a contract is declared void or unenforceable by a court of law, the contract is discharged. Main idea number 15. Third-party rights. Third parties may have rights under a contract, such as a right to sue for breach of contract. Third-party rights are rights that are granted to a third party under a contract. These rights may include the right to sue for breach of contract, the right to enforce the contract, or the right to receive a benefit from the contract. In some cases, third-party rights may be implied from the language of the contract, while in other cases, they may be explicitly stated. When a contract is made between two parties, the third party may be granted certain rights under the contract. These rights may include the right to sue for breach of contract, the right to enforce the contract, or the right to receive a benefit from the contract. In some cases, the third party may be granted these rights by the parties to the contract, while in other cases, the third party may be granted these rights by law. Third-party rights are important because they allow third parties to enforce the terms of a contract and to receive the benefits of the contract. Without these rights, third parties would not be able to enforce the contract or receive the benefits of the contract. Therefore, it is important to consider third-party rights when drafting a contract. Main idea number 16. Assignment. A contract can be assigned to a third party, who then has the right to enforce the contract. Assignment is the transfer of a contract from one party to another. It is a common practice in the business world, and it is a legal concept that is recognized by the courts. Assignment is a way for a party to transfer their rights and obligations under a contract to a third party. The third party then has the right to enforce the contract and receive the benefits of the contract. Assignment is a useful tool for businesses, as it allows them to transfer their contractual rights and obligations to another party without having to renegotiate the terms of the contract. When a contract is assigned, the assignor, the party transferring the contract, is no longer bound by the contract. The assignee, the party receiving the contract, is now the party responsible for fulfilling the obligations of the contract. The assignee is also entitled to the benefits of the contract, such as any payments due under the contract. The assignor is still liable for any breach of the contract prior to the assignment, but the assignee is now responsible for any breach of the contract after the assignment. Assignment is a powerful tool for businesses, as it allows them to transfer their contractual rights and obligations to another party without having to renegotiate the terms of the contract. However, it is important to note that not all contracts can be assigned. Some contracts, such as those involving personal services, cannot be assigned. Additionally, some contracts may contain a clause that prohibits assignment. It is important to read the contract carefully to determine if assignment is allowed. Main idea number 17. Novation. A contract can be novate, which is a substitution of a new party for an existing party. Novation is a substitution of a new party for an existing party in a contract. It is a process whereby the rights and obligations of one of the parties to a contract are transferred to a third party, with the consent of the other original party and the third party. This process is often used when a party to a contract is unable to fulfill their obligations, and a third party is willing to take on the obligations in their place. The original party is then released from their obligations, and the third party takes on the obligations of the original party. Novation is a form of contract modification, and it is important to note that the original contract remains in effect. The only change is that the rights and obligations of one of the parties are transferred to a third party. This process is often used when a party to a contract is unable to fulfill their obligations, and a third party is willing to take on the obligations in their place. The original party is then released from their obligations, and the third party takes on the obligations of the original party. Novation is a useful tool for parties to a contract who are unable to fulfill their obligations. It allows the parties to modify the contract without having to renegotiate the entire agreement. It also allows the parties to transfer the rights and obligations of one of the parties to a third party, without having to terminate the contract. This can be beneficial for all parties involved, as it allows the contract to remain in effect, while allowing the parties to modify the contract to better suit their needs. Main idea number 18. Waiver. A party to a contract can waive its rights under the contract, which releases the other party from its obligations. A waiver is a voluntary relinquishment of a known right. It is a voluntary act, and must be made with knowledge of the facts and of the right which is waived. A waiver may be express or implied. An express waiver is one which is made by words, either written or spoken. An implied waiver is one which is inferred from the conduct of the parties, or from the circumstances of the case. A waiver may be made of any right under a contract, and may be made either before or after the breach of the contract. It may be made either by the party who has the right, or by the party who is bound to perform the obligation. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. A waiver may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent or attorney. It may be made either by the party himself, or by his agent. Main idea number 19. Estoppel. A party to a contract may be estopped from denying the existence of the contract or its terms. Estoppel is a legal principle that prevents a party from denying the existence of a contract or its terms. It is based on the idea that a party should not be allowed to deny the truth of a statement or an agreement that they have previously made. Estoppel is often used in contract law to prevent a party from denying the existence of a contract or its terms, even if the contract is not legally binding. This is because the party has already made a statement or agreement that they should be held to. Estoppel is an important concept in contract law because it prevents parties from denying the existence of a contract or its terms. This is important because it ensures that parties are held to their agreements and that contracts are enforced. Estoppel also helps to protect parties from being taken advantage of by other parties who may try to deny the existence of a contract or its terms. Estoppel is a powerful tool in contract law and can be used to protect parties from being taken advantage of. It is important to remember, however, that estoppel is not a substitute for a legally binding contract. Estoppel can only be used to prevent a party from denying the existence of a contract or its terms, not to enforce the contract itself. Main idea number 20. Agency. An agent may be authorized to enter into contracts on behalf of a principal, and the principal is bound by the agent's actions. An agency is a relationship between two parties, the principal and the agent, in which the agent is authorized to act on behalf of the principal. The agent is given the authority to enter into contracts on behalf of the principal, and the principal is bound by the agent's actions. This means that the principal is liable for any contracts that the agent enters into on their behalf. The agent is also liable for any contracts that they enter into on behalf of the principal, as they are acting as the principal's representative. The principal is responsible for any contracts that the agent enters into on their behalf, even if the agent does not have the authority to do so. This means that the principal must ensure that the agent is acting within the scope of their authority. The principal must also ensure that the agent is acting in the best interests of the principal, and not for their own personal gain. The principal is also responsible for any damages that may arise from the agent's actions. This means that the principal must take steps to ensure that the agent is acting in a responsible manner. The principal must also ensure that the agent is aware of any potential risks associated with the contracts that they are entering into. The agency relationship is an important one, as it allows the principal to delegate certain tasks to the agent. This can be beneficial for both parties, as it allows the principal to focus on other tasks, while the agent is able to use their expertise to complete the task. However, it is important to remember that the principal is ultimately responsible for any contracts that the agent enters into on their behalf.